new episode, the Best Worst Podcast. As you can see, I'm highly motivated and excited about it, ready to do it, ready to record. Great things to talk about. That's a lie. All right, it's a lie. I mean, I got some stuff. I got some stuff, but has anything I've talked about in the last three episodes been anything? No. Why is that? Why is that? Because it's only interesting to me in most cases, okay? In most cases, these comedians or people I've... A lot of the people I've mentioned, there's a good chance that most of you have never even heard of them, okay? I mean, I'm still seeing people say, who the fuck is Anthony DeVito, you know, on his YouTube podcast appearances. But he's been around for a long time. He's been very funny since the moment I heard about him. And there's still people that are like, oh, wow. Just appeared on We Might Be Drunk. So now I'll check him out. Like, why is it that, you know, comedy fans, at least specific generations where it's like they didn't really listen to stand-up, they find these guys on a podcast before they ever know that they do actual comedy. That's probably the reason that Brendan Schaub has fans, right? There's people that found him on The Fighter and the Kid and thought he was funny, and they said, hey, I'll at least go see him. I don't care if he's even funny. I just want to meet a semi-famous person because I'm a fucking loser. Like, so fucking dumb, dude. If you're a person that has any amount of autographs, you're lame, dude. A collectible is one thing, but if you went and spent time waiting for a famous person to come out of a Sam Goody so you could get their autograph, you're a fucking dork. You're a dork. You have no accomplishments of your own to suffice, okay? Where it's like your accomplishments are through this autographed framed picture. You look how cool I am because I knew a professional baseball player that nobody else really cares about. Fucking, it's terrible. Anyways, today's episode, we got a bunch of random stuff, and of course, that's what it's always going to be. I do try to have some sort of a flow to it, but if it doesn't, I don't care. I'm laying down right now, okay? I feel like Bill Burr. Not just because he lays down, but because we're both hilarious redheads, okay? That's why. No, but in all seriousness, this episode could go many a ways. Could go many a ways, because the stuff I wrote down doesn't have as much. I don't know. Fat? To take off of it and make into something delicious, because the fat's the best part. We know that. Science has told us when it comes to eating food of any kind. The fat is the delicious part. But let's go ahead and dive into this, guys. Let's see what we got here on the docket. Because, like I said, I take notes throughout the week. And we could definitely spend time here dismantling Brendan Schaub again. Because what is he doing? But I don't think there's a better subject for this podcast than Bobby Lee, Kalila, and Brendan Schaub, and the very popular Homeless Cats Reddit, whatever, that is apparently ran by somebody who's using a Tiger Belly email. And I just gotta say, dude, that's brilliant. I mean, it's so smart. It's so smart for the person to use that email. To have that in the email, because it goes to show how stupid Brendan and Brian are. Where as soon as they get, like, they're reading deeply into the email. The name of the email, not the stuff it's saying, nothing like that. They're literally just saying, well, the fucking email says Tiger Belly in it, so it's gotta be you guys. You guys gotta be involved. It's insane. It's insane. But again, very smart. Very smart for the person that's allegedly running it to make that their email, because it just takes it takes a whole new turn. I mean, guys, if you go to YouTube right now, if you haven't seen this, if you haven't heard about this, Brendan Schaub and the Tiger Belly family, you know, Bobby Lee, Kalila, Gil, and that blonde guy, the blonde mullet guy, they had Brendan on an episode recently, and there's stuff that goes on with, like, Annie Letterman, Brendan Schaub allegedly cheating on his wife, suing a YouTuber, right? Just being an overall fucking dummy and not funny guy who boasts about being able to do comedy and other accolades like MMA fighting and football and all this shit, but he drops his second special in, what, 5 years, 6 years, and it's 25 minutes on YouTube? Something's wrong. You're not as big as you think you are. Take that fucking car back, right? I mean, insane, dude. It's like somebody once told Brendan, hey, dude, you might not have the necessary things that either being material items or actual skills to be this person, this famous person, this celebrity, this influencer that you want to be. But if you just start taking out loans for lots and lots of money and pretending, you can fake a lot of people out and they'll become believers. If they see you driving a Ferrari, dude, they're going to believe that you're doing well. Even if your dad co-signs for it. Okay? Even if Papa has to get Papa to co-sign for his car. Doesn't matter. Point is, these guys had this beef because the Tiger Belly email was linked to the Reddit. And I don't even fuck with Reddit. Believe me. Reddit, to me, is a more intense version of Twitter. And what a waste of time. What a waste. Now, of course, there's a thousand things that you could sit here. You could sit here and say, make that, you know, that drama interesting, okay? Whether it's your fascination with Brendan Schaub and whatever the fuck he is, and the fact that Tiger Belly is involved. Because the way I see it is, what a weird group of people to be involved. And at this point, it has made Kalila, specifically the episode with Schaub, it makes Kalila look scary as fuck, dude. It makes her look so scary. It makes her look like she's prepared for a moment where something is going to happen to Bobby Lee. Not in the sense of people trying to hurt him, but maybe somebody trying to, you know, just make him look bad. I could see this, okay? Bobby's one of those guys that performs stand-up comedy that just, he's crazy. He'll take his clothes off, all right? Now, what does that mean for the audience? It's very funny, but these days, it is very hard to get away with, okay? And the way that she went at Brendan Schaub in this episode, you're like, dude, she's keeping a journal. She's dating. She's fucking getting things notarized. She's got a team of lawyers. Dude, it's so scary. So fucking scary. But it also made it look like maybe she's involved. Maybe you are involved, dude. Because you're spending, I mean, you, dude, she had these things all tight, like chronologically on a computer. She's referencing these notes that she took, these screenshots that she has, these conversations that have taken. It's fucking weird, dude. Now, why else would you do that if not for the fact that sometime in the near future, you felt shit was gonna hit the fan? And it did. And it did now. Is she involved? I have no fucking idea. I've never even been on the Fighter and the Kid Reddit, Tiger Belly Reddit. I've been on Reddit like twice. Okay? And it's not because some of the stuff isn't highly entertaining. It's just a lot of words, man. A lot of words. But nonetheless, Tiger Belly decided to have Brendan Schaub come to the podcast, record this episode, and release it for the world. And without a doubt, the amount of views that this episode got makes everything that much more confusing. Because it's been said that there's like 40,000 people within the Fighter and the Kid Reddit. Is there that many in Tiger Belly? Are they the same? Is there a lot of crossover? I don't know. But this episode's got a million views, okay, in like 3 days. And keep in mind, Tiger Belly's not a small show. These guys are pulling in anywhere from, you know, 300,000 to 700,000, depending on who it is. And then you get this episode with Brendan Schaub, not funny at all, but also Brendan Schaub. So it shouldn't have got more than maybe 80,000 views, maybe 100,000. And it's got a million, dude. It's got a million. That right there is a direct result of the internet's love for drama. Because you can't sit there and tell me that 40,000 people watch this specific podcast multiple times. What I think is there's a lot more people that are fascinated with whatever the fuck Brendan Schaub is and drama within his fraud, you know, his pretend, his disguise, whatever the fuck else it is, that people enjoy it even beyond the level of homeless cats, right? Grandma and grandpa could enjoy that type of shit. I mean, that's why there's specific episodes of, like, late night talk shows where the guest and the host aren't really friends. Is that a thing? I don't know. I feel like it might be. Who cares? I'm just bringing this up because, you know, Bobby and Kalilas have been targeted, sort of, as being responsible for Schaub's Reddit trolling. And in this episode, we essentially find out that Schaub isn't a great guy. But what we really learned, dude, is Brian Callen fucking stinks, dude. That guy fucking sucks. All right? Sure, he can be funny. He's a funny dude. But not every person that's got a sense of humor, also good guy. Doesn't make sense. Too many people claim to be funny, whereas nobody claims to want to be an asshole or a dickhead. Especially in the world of comedy, because then you see this character. And that's the thing that podcasting has exposed, at least within the world of famous people, is so many famous people that are like, oh yeah, I play all these cool characters on TV or in movies. And then you hear them speak or do things outside of that shit and see them as a real person. You're like, oh, well, fuck this guy. Everybody he's playing is just a character. That's not who he is. And that's exactly what this situation is, right? With Brian Callen, you find out that even Brendan Schaub said himself that he felt Brian had went too far in the phone call. And you know what, dude? It's just another sign of an angry little dude. Of just a guy who's always kind of been, you know, the follower. The guy who's always liked or wanted to be a guy like Rogan, you know? He's not a bigger guy than Callen by any means, but he has a personality that attracts friends, and people find him interesting just in general. And then it's like Brian Callen's attempts at all of the same things Joe has done have failed. And it's because of this behind-the-scenes attitude that we're all finding that he has. Like, all this fight talk that this man does on his podcast is legit. Like, the guy is probably severely violent outside of the cameras, you know, like a real big dickhead. I bet his management and his agents were very happy to drop him, you know, when that time came. They were like, fuck, anything to get rid of this guy and not make it seem like it's not just because he's a fucking dickhead. I mean, how desperate for him. I mean, look, you could even point fingers at the fact that Brian Callen attempted to do other podcasts without Brendan Schaub that didn't work. Or don't work. Right? They don't work like they do with Brendan because Brendan makes Brian look like the smart guy. Brendan makes Brian look like the guy who's just talking about fighting because he thinks it's funny. It turns out, we learn, hey, Brian Callen's the piece of shit here. And maybe that's what we do from this point forward. Okay? Instead of worrying so much about Brendan Schaub being in comedy and getting specials before he should and just being an overall dork, I think we just start making more fun of Brian Callen, for sure. I mean, number one, spells his name wrong. Okay? Number two, he takes pride in the fact that people have called him Joe Rogan's little brother, or the fact that he also actually played Rogan's brother in different TV shows, or at least one that I know of for sure, but I can't remember which one. Maybe it was News Radio. Either way, he loves that. He fucking loves it. If Brian could ride the coattails of Joe Rogan to the top, he would absolutely do that. He would absolutely do that. But it's so fucking obvious, he can't. It's so obvious, you can't. But anyways, it is funny to see, like, maybe we will lose these podcasts that have came up in Los Angeles. Because let me tell you, there's nothing more annoying to me than producers that attempt to be a part of the show. And I don't mean in the way of like producing the show. I mean in the way of like, we're supposed to care about how many Instagram followers they have. We should care about their plugs at the end. We should let them talk on the microphone for more than 2 minutes. We should hear about their outside lives. We should also let them on stage when we perform live. Because guess what? They're a part of the show now. But guess what also? But also this. Only in Los Angeles. Only in LA do I feel like they want to be a part of the show. Whereas the producers in New York are like, leave me out of it. You guys are the entertainers. You could make an exception for Homeless Pimp. Okay? That guy's obviously trying to be a character. But sort of in a good way. He does have a terrible laugh, though. I don't like it. Be that as it may, he's not nearly as bad as, like, Nick from King and the Sting and the Wing. Okay? Like, why? I mean, Or George from Tiger Belly. Like, buddy, we don't need you to be on camera. We should know what most of these motherfuckers look like. Leave that to the guys that are getting the actual checks to be on camera. 1 million views, though, guys. Like, how fucking crazy, dude. It's so crazy. Because you would assume that they were getting at least that many views before. So annoying, dude. I am just excited to see the results. Like, how much further are we going to go? How much further is this going to go? Because if you listen to the episode, there's times where Brendan says he's got all this information, and he also says, what's the point to all of this? And Kalila and Bobby take that as their part in the situation. But Brendan was talking about it as a whole. He's saying, what's the point to all of this? And he means all the random people that he can't name that are in there constantly shitting on him and poking fun. He's not talking about the Tiger Belly crew at all. But that's what they took it as. But as I'm watching, I'm sitting there, I'm like, for sure he's talking about the entire TFATK Reddit in itself. Why are they constantly, you know, badgering his poor speech or inability to be funny? Those things. His stupid hat, facial hair, haircuts, shirts. There's so many things to hate about the guy. Because realistically, he's the guy that we, as, you know, people that sort of use humor as a defense mechanism. He's the bully. He's the big bad guy. He's the athlete. But when you actually look at Brendan's credentials, he's just a big guy that attempted to be that guy that played sports, you know, that wore the Letterman's jacket. But he's the little brother. Okay? Brendan's the little brother. Now, I'm not defending him. I don't think he's great. But I think there's more of a foundation of a comedian here than we give him credit for. Not that he's figured it out yet or anything. But he's the little brother. He's the one that followed in the older brother's footsteps. He wanted to impress his older brother and be a successful athlete. And he put everything he had into it. And it turns out he's just being picked on the whole time by his brother growing up. And that will help you be funny. And use it as a defense mechanism. He just can't figure out how to write a fucking joke. And then once that happens, maybe we'll see a proper comedian. But it is a little ridiculous when you hear popular, famous, good comedians say all you got to do is get on the stage. The only way you're going to get better is if you go to stage. And Brendan Schaub is clear proof that that's a fucking lie. Because that dude's doing stage time everywhere. He's doing stage time everywhere and he stinks. He's still not gotten better. How does that make sense? How does he not even feel like shit knowing that he's performing with these other dudes that are actually getting laughs from the same crowd that laugh out of pity for him? It's insane. And yet he just keeps going. He just keeps going. And I feel like that's what he's going to use to make himself keep going is, oh, well, I'm doing it because you don't like it. And they keep booking me. But the only reason the dude is even still valuable at this point in the LA comedy scene is because all of his friends are canceled. Without him, they don't get to do shows. Chris D'Elia starts doing a tour in September and is plugging it in May. Without Brendan Schaub, he doesn't have any dates this year. But because he started doing shows with Brendan Schaub again, Brendan Schaub and Friends, that's a show you want to see. That's a show you want to see. You know, actually, I was walking down the street the other day and I saw a homeless guy passed out. And he had a tattoo of family across his forearm. And it's just kind of like at that point, probably not, you know, like probably not, though, right? Family. What? Where'd they, what? I don't know, whatever. I didn't actually walk past a homeless guy. You know what I'd kind of be curious about when it comes to the fact that Brendan is surrounding himself with essentially canceled comedians? He's so concerned about this Tiger Belly being involved with his Reddit, but what's not to say Brendan's not involved in the fact that these fucking dudes are getting canceled? Because that's some conniving ass shit. It'll give him a reason to not take off. Because it'll give him a reason to keep working with Brendan because he's a big, strong, tough, scary guy, right? God damn it, I hate that image, too, that the comedians try to give him because he's, like, the biggest comedian that actually has fight experience. That is until Preacher Lawson came around, you know? A comedian that does MMA is like a actor that tries to be a musician. It's just weird. It's weird. Because even if you're successful, it's still corny. You know, it's still like, what the fuck is that for? What's that for, dude? Oh, and I also should mention before we get to the next topic, I had to change microphones, and it's not because I wanted to sit in a chair, but because a fucking cordless mic sucks, dude, unless you spend $300 on it. Don't buy any of those cheap ones. They are not worth it. So I had to hook up the corded mic, and here we are. I feel better about it. I'm still quite comfy. I'm just as if that matters at all. But let's get out of this stupid Oh, wait. I also want to say the Brian Callen piece of shit. I also want to say it annoys me from the Brendan Schaub Tiger Belly episode. Now, I also want to add, before we continue on quickly, in the Tiger Belly episode with Brendan Schaub, he constantly kept messaging how he talked to basically more famous people than him. Whitney. Joe Rogan. Okay. Andrew Schultz. I mean, what the fuck is this? What is that? Are those your parents? Are those your dads and moms? Like, Whitney Cummings fucking sucks, dude. If there's a female version of Brendan Schaub in Los Angeles, it's Whitney Cummings. She's trash. She is absolute garbage. Okay? There is not one time that I've seen her in the past fucking 5 years do anything remotely funny. Okay? The funniest thing about Whitney Cummings is the fact that she is so famous and rich and still single. That's funny. That's hilarious. Okay? She can have all the money in the fucking world and have made TV shows and all this good shit, but guess what? Still lonely. That's funny. That's humor, okay? And then to think that she has some sort of power in the world of fucking comedy. Since when? Since when? Since Undateable? Since the other show she did with Chris D'Elia? Since her appearances on Workaholics? I mean, what are we talking about? Okay? What are we talking about? She doesn't have that type of control in Hollywood. Because guess what? Comedian. You're a comedian. You're not a business head, right? You're not a CEO of, you know, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, right? You're just Whitney fucking Cummings. And all it takes to get the same fame or popularity or money that you have is being funnier than you. And as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to Rogan and Cummings, there's 35 other comedians way funnier than both of them combined on their best day. Okay? Rogan and her can smash a million alpha brain pills. You won't be funnier than Greg Stone. Okay? Whitney can come in taking all the Adderall that she needs. Rogan can come in after doing a fucking set of, you know, archery rounds with fucking video game deer. And guess what? You're not going to be funnier than Mark Norman, Joe List, Tim Dillon. Okay? It's not going to happen. You send five of the worst East Coast comedians to LA. It's a takeover. There's maybe four comedians that are Los Angeles based that could hang on a New York podcast. And I'm talking podcast. I'm not talking about pre-written jokes to go do at an open mic. I'm talking sit in a room with Bobby Kelly, Big J Okerson. Okay? And see how well you can riff. See if you can hang at all. All right? Even guys like Brendan Sagalow. Stronger comedians than most LA comics. That's just what it is, baby. It's what it is. And you can be upset by it. But use that. Use it to be better, Mike Lenoci. Right? Use it to be better. It's fuel. So speaking of LA trash comedians and a huge mistake that I made, Bert Kreischer. All right, I said I was starting to enjoy him again, and perhaps I'm only enjoying him when he's with Tom because Tom keeps him in check. Fine. But I watched maybe 20 minutes of the recent episode of Two Bears, One Cave with Chris DiStefano. And damn, that was upsetting. Upsetting. Because DiStefano's not even that great. DiStefano's not that great. I mean, I sat through his entire special. I didn't watch the one he did previous to this one, because I had thought, hey man, he's had to have gotten funnier since then. You know, so why even waste my time watching an early special? Let me just see what he does here. He's got very frantic energy. It's kind of hard to deal with on a stage, even on a podcast, but I watched the whole Netflix special, and dude, I don't know if there was any jokes. I don't remember any jokes. I really don't. I'm not making fun of the guy. He's a very humorous person, but that special doesn't have me like, oh yeah, that one joke about the nothing. Now, is that because I have a bad memory? No. Because much like anybody's memory, if something's worth storing, you're going to store it. Okay? And I'm not bringing up Bert Kreischer to shit on DeStefano. I'm bringing up DeStefano to help anybody listening realize that Bert Kreischer's out of his goddamn mind. Okay? Because he proceeded to effortlessly convince Chris DeStefano and other people listening that he is somehow involved in the success that other comedians have got. Okay? He thinks that he's the reason that Chris DeStefano is well known. That he got a Netflix special. He thinks he's responsible. Isn't that the stupidest shit you ever heard? And Bert Kreischer is known for saying dumb shit. I mean, he's essentially Brendan Schaub 10 years older. Everything's the same. Right? Everything. Look at, if you haven't made this comparison, if nobody else has made this comparison, here it is. Bert Kreischer and Brendan Schaub are the same type of comedian. So desperate to be famous, they're willing to do whatever it takes. Brendan Schaub's willing to fucking pretend that he's already a rich dude because he was a semi-successful fighter. And Bert Kreischer needs a gimmick for anybody to give a fuck who he is. Bert Kreischer has been around for so fucking long, it's embarrassing that people still get his name wrong. Because Bert's been trying to be famous for as long as I've been alive. Okay? So to think that Bert Kreischer believes in his own head he's responsible for anybody else's fame, he's out of his fucking mind. Because he's barely got his own. When he referenced the fact that Tom Segura got found because of being on Joe Rogan, he doesn't even throw his own name in that basket. He doesn't throw his name in the same basket that says, I'm well known because of Joe Rogan. That's how big-headed this fucking dude is. He thinks his fame is because of himself. I mean, are you serious? Are you serious? Because we could just go look at the track record. Look at the track record, guys. All right? Bert Kreischer signed a deal with Will Smith, and he couldn't make him famous. Will Smith couldn't make Bert Kreischer famous. That's fucked up. Because we all still remember DJ Jazzy Jeff, and I don't know any records he spun outside of Will Smith songs, right? But Will Smith couldn't make him relevant. And he tried. Will Smith couldn't do it. And then True TV or whatever other fucking weird extra channels you get from basic cable, they attempted. They gave Bert Kreischer a show how many fucking times? How many times has Bert Kreischer had a show that failed? I'll wait. Okay? That's right. Way too fucking many. Too many. And he wasn't even really a stand-up comedian before that. He was just a guy that had his life so poorly tracked out that he ended up spending too much time in college. That story inspired a movie, and the guy who played him in the movie is 100,000 times more famous than he'll ever be, right? So when you look back at the track record, too, of the fact that his fame came from Joe Rogan, so much so that they've been inspired to make a movie about it. Now, if Bert Kreischer was responsible, for any other comedian's fame, it would be some of his openers. And the only one I know of is Shane Torres. And guess what? Never seen his clips of jokes or anything. Okay? That's how famous he is. Because he opens for Bert Kreischer. Another clear sign that Kreischer hasn't made fame for himself is the fact that the movie that is being made about him is from a story he told on Joe Rogan's podcast. God damn it. And what makes that so funny is Bert Kreischer has his own podcast. He has his own podcast. And I know you're thinking, yeah, the one with Tom Segura, right? No. Tom Segura's Bert Kreischer's been doing his own podcast for as long as essentially Rogan. Redman and Rogan are the one that inspired Bert to do the Bert Cast. But what does the Bert Cast do? Not a goddamn thing. Not a thing. Nothing. Not one person has went and done the Bert Cast and all of a sudden popped. Right? And even Bert knows that. He's taking credit for the fact that he has said to Rogan, you should have this guy on. Or the fact that he said to a producer, you should check this guy out. Are you kidding me? Are we supposed to believe that any conversation that Bert has isn't just about Bert? Right? Every conversation that Bert Kreischer has is about Bert Kreischer. On camera, off camera. So to convince the general audience, the general public, that you're shouting out other dudes you think are funny, you gotta be out of your fucking mind.
Yeah, Chris DiStefano. Yeah, he's so funny. Yeah, New York comedian. Hilarious. I mean,
he should definitely get a Netflix special because you said so, Bert Kreischer, right? That makes sense. Jump off the bridge, douchebag. I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing? Like I said, him and Bert Kreischer and Brendan Schaub are the same fucking dude, decade apart. That's it. Look at this. Look at the mentality. Okay? The only difference is Bert Kreischer found his gimmick and it's worked. Not that it's improved his ability to be funny, but everybody loves Fatty Fall Down. Everybody loves that. So weird, man. So weird. But he too is one of those guys that is like, well, I'm friends with Whitney Cummings and Joe Rogan, so my career is safe. And it's like, dude, they didn't do anything for you. I mean, outside of this fucking fake story about Russia that he had to make up for the Rogan, you know, experience. Now he's got a movie coming out, and it's like, what a waste of fucking money. How much money did Bert have to put in himself? And then to think that he's getting these jobs, being the comic relief on a, you know, worldwide talent show. Embarrassing. Like, how desperate are these producers, you know? How desperate are they to have a guy who's willing to embarrass himself? Because that's what it is, right? That's what it is. And then I also think he doesn't realize it. He doesn't realize it's taking a toll. It's taking a toll on your ability to entertain, right? You can only see Fatty fall down so many times before it's just, you feel for them. It's not funny anymore. You're like, buddy, that's got to start hurting at some point. Emotionally, physically, right? I mean, what a fucking dope, though, this guy. Do whatever you want, man. But what a cheap way to go about it, you know? What a cheap way. They just say, and then it's just so much weird shit. So many outlandish comments being said over the last week about creators, you know, people that are claiming to be comedians. I mean, all the power to Chris DiStefano for attempting it. But that was not a good, special on Netflix. Speaking of not good specials, dude, same thing with Christina P. Right? Tom Segura's wife? Like, that's what she should have... She should have just called her special Tom Segura's wife. Right? At this point, you don't know her. Nobody knows who she is. Most of us didn't even know that she had another shitty special on Netflix called Mother Superior or some goofy. Like, it was during the trend of pregnant women doing comedy. She had to get hers in, for sure. They're like, hey, you're pregnant. Do a special real quick. She's like, I have 12 jokes. I mean, at this point, you'd assume that she'd be funnier because Tom could at least help her write. But I think it's pretty obvious that she's not getting any help from Tom because this bitch is not funny, dude. Christina has not been funny in any aspect. Podcasting, road rules, okay? She's just not funny at all. I mean, she looked good in the special. Maybe because she wasn't pregnant, but she looked good. But the subject matter, I didn't watch it. I'll be honest, I didn't fucking watch 1 second of the actual special. I just scrolled over it and I saw the trailer play, okay? Now, a lot of stuff has a trailer that plays automatically on Netflix without your choosing, and that's what happened. And the worst part about that is you would at least hope, if you're going to force me to watch, you know, 60 seconds of something that's supposed to grab a hold of me and make me go watch the whole thing, why not pick a good joke? Why not pick a joke at all? Huh? Because it wasn't even funny to any degree. It wasn't even a joke. She was just saying things. And that's the same way I felt about the Stefano special. It's just like, you just said a bunch of stuff. Cool. Like, what part am I supposed to laugh at? The part where, and that's, it's, you also know it's a shitty special where the only thing that you reference from the special is when you shit on Netflix and then say, I'll also let you buy it if you want to buy it. Every podcast appearance he's done since he dropped the special, he talks about that. Like, he's some badass guy, like, fuck Netflix, I'm going to YouTube. Chris, you're not that guy. You're not that guy. All right? You're just not. You're not this guy that's not desperate as fuck to get recognition from some big corporation. All right? You're on Netflix before, guy. You're on True TV fucking six months ago. Don't tell me that it's just about comedy. Okay? Don't tell me that it's... Don't try to say that it's just about comedy and then release that dog shit. It's the same with Christina. Like, you don't sit there and try to tell us that you didn't get on Netflix because of Tom. All right? Because your work is not showing anything otherwise. I would be surprised anybody comes to your shows still for any other reason than Tom or the podcast. Same thing with Brendan Schaub. Same thing with Bert Kreischer. They're not coming to see you be funny. They're just coming to see you. It's like any other celebrity, right? Like, of course, John Legend would be awesome on Piano Live. Okay? But most people would still be satisfied with just getting him to sign a sock or some goofy shit. Don't gotta see you do your thing. Just gotta see you. So it's more annoying the fact that these people are fucking selling out as if it's because they're getting funnier. Stop it. The funniest comedians are dropping specials on YouTube, guys. Okay? And it's not Brendan Schaub. Joe List dropped his special in the same week as Brendan. And if you sat through the 25 minutes of Brendan Schaub's special, you can go listen. You can go watch Joe List and see the major difference in jokes. Okay? There are jokes in Joe's special. There are no jokes in Chris DiStefano's. in Christina P's or Brendan Schaub's. Watch all three of those back to back and see how much you laugh. And then go watch Joe List and tell me there's not a massive difference in quality. And yet they're paying money for Brendan, or they're paying money for DeStefano and Christina P. But you're like, why? This is a insufficient product. Well, I feel like we did it. I feel like you guys should go to the Patreon, pay that $3, get that bonus content. Check out youtube.com/badbrainstudios, as well as youtube.com/1minutemetalfreestyles. You can hear how this voice sounds when I release the demons. Also, TikTok, Instagram, That Dude With Ears. And, you know, that's it. PayPal.com. No, PayPal.me/chewed. If you want to just throw me some money, because my birthday's coming up soon, and damn it, I'm getting a stripper.